Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
3-2, runner goes again, and a swing and a line drive base hit into left center field, and this ball's going to get to the ivy. It'll stick in the ivy, and Lester's first pitch is a swing and a high fly ball to pretty deep right center field. Almora tracking it back. He will make the catch. Tagging and scoring is Blackman. Tagging and coming to third is LeMahieu, and the Rockies strike early with a 1-0 lead. The 2-2, swing and a miss. Got him with a fastball down and away, and Ottavino gets out of the jam. And the pitch and a swing and a ground ball base hit into center field. Story comes in to score. Para around to third, and the Rockies have taken a 2-1 lead.
Hell yeah!
And the 0-2 on the way. Swing and a miss. He got him. What a job by Oberg in relief. And the Rockies have won the wild card game.
Win, no matter what.
What?
Oberg is a boss.
And they say yeah, and they say yeah, and they say that.
Up, down, up, down, up, down.
Cause all I do is squeeze, squeeze, squeeze. And if you go in here, put your hands in the air.
Ludacris. Oh, man, I'm so happy for him. You know, it's been a grind this season. You know, I know he hasn't played the way he's wanted, but he works hard, man. This guy works hard. He cares. He cares for everyone. And he didn't start today, and that's not easy to come in a game and come up with a big hit, and that was unbelievable. We're all happy.
Change up, he threw to me. I could have swung twice. And then the second one, I actually got a piece of it and put it in a hole, so it felt pretty good. So, great feeling. It's a feeling I'm not going to for course.
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's probably the biggest hit I've ever had, that's for sure.
What a night. What a night. What a night for the Rockies.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never give it up.
Come on.
And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up.
Oh, I want that ball.
And they stay there. And they stay there.
Gives me chills. Our interview with Kyle Freeland just, what, a week ago or so?
You make the playoffs, let's hope, right? Somebody's got to take that ball for the first game. Would you be comfortable in that position?
Oh, I want that ball.
There you go, Kyle.
Hell yeah!
I want that ball.
Oh, I want that ball.
Woo!
Now we got to go beat Laverne and Shirley.
We got to beat Laverne and Shirley. Shamil Shamazzle, Hop and Pepper Incorporated. Ripping off my tweets.
No, did you?
That's what I said. Did you not see that?
Well,
I go, suck it, Cubs fans, all you arrogant posers.
Oh, my goodness. Did you see all of that?
Onto Laverne and Shirley.
Oh, no, I didn't see that. I didn't see that. But how about the, all the fist pumping and the false bravado provided by the Cubs to try to,
oh my God,
you know, to get the, you know, get the Rockies so intimidated ridiculous. A little bit last night.
I've never
night.
Seen somebody bat flip
like,
a walk.
My goodness, man. Golly.
Dude, you bat flipped a walk. I mean, like, first base was open. It wasn't even that dramatic of a walk. I mean, first base is open. We may have walked anyways. Who cares? Oh, I walked! Woo!
Let's go!
Woo!
I don't know what we're yelling about!
Woo! I'm going to bat flip a walk! The silence of all those people who drove to the Walmart 30 minutes before the game to buy their used Cub gear. It was great. 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 All the poser Cub fans here in Colorado and other places. I was actually asked to be, right before the show, I was asked to be on a radio station in Milwaukee. And I like the Brewers. I have respect for the Brewers. Lots of respect for the Brewers. And so I'm about to go on the show, and Kevin Stonis, who works here, sends me a text and goes, hey, you know, one of those guys on that show is actually a Cubs fan. And I go, there's a radio host in Milwaukee on Afternoon Drive on a sports talk station who's a Cubs fan and openly talks about that? He goes, yeah, guy's a real jerk. Okay.
What is it, like a 6-hour drive from Milwaukee to Chicago?
So
it's really close. I'm serious. I mean, it's not a long drive.
So I get on the air with these guys, and I'm happy to just talk straight up baseball if you want to. But I just said, you know, isn't this great that we both beat the annoying Cubs? And the guy goes, well, I'm a Cubs fan.
You on air?
Yeah.
In Milwaukee.
In Milwaukee. And then I just start ripping him for being a... And then he tries to hang up. The two guys that he's on the show with are dying with laughter. You know, Big Sexy, we could probably find that, by the way. I retweeted it. You know, the reaction that I got was everybody thought it was hysterical because everybody's sick of listening to this guy who's a Cubs fan on in Wisconsin. But that's who the Cubs are. That's who they are. They're arrogant. They looked like an arrogant team last night, didn't they?
Oh, they did, man. All the fist pumping and hoopla going on. I'm like, man, just stay within yourself, Rockies.
What did Potter do when he walked? Did he bat flip when he walked?
No.
That was a big walk. Yeah, that was a hell of an at bat. He was down 0-2 and he walked. Whatever, man. It was sweet. You know, the Chicago Tribune, the headline there in their sports section is Choke-tober. And it details how the Cubs just gagged it away.
And how somebody's about to get fired in Chicago.
Well, specifically, it appears Chili Davis, who's had the job for 1 year, is on the hot seat. Whatever. Whatever misery befalls the Cubs, I'm all for.
It's a 5-hour drive, man. Right now, in traffic. Right down the street, dude.
Well, I could have sworn I heard the Rockies were taking a bus.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I thought with Scott Van Pelt, Bud Black said that. I didn't know if he was joking or not, but it kind of does make sense, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but...
Why would you fly a plane when you could get in a 5-hour bus ride, right?
I don't know. It just, you know...
I don't know. I don't know how pro teams do it. I'm not sure. One of the greatest nights in Rockies history was last night. You know, because it's still an elimination game. Like the Matt Holliday, did he touch the plate Padres game? That's an elimination game. I mean, how many elimination games have the Rockies actually had where it's either they're eliminated or the other team's eliminated?
Well, you have playoff series they've been in and
how many are
the
there?
Last game, and then you'll find out how many elimination games you had.
Yeah, I mean, how many game fives or game sevens or wild card type of games have the Rockies been in?
We had swept, so game four in the World Series was an elimination game.
What game have they played in where it's equal? A real elimination game where it's either them or the other team.
Oh, you mean in an extended series or one, you know, is it?
Three choices. It's game five of the best of five,
mm-hmm.
game seven of the best of seven, or a play-in wild card game. I mean, obviously we can think of...
Last year.
Last year's one, this year's two, the Matt Holliday game's three, and are there any others? I don't know off the top of my head. They stand out. Those games stand out forever.
I think all of them stand out to me.
Game four, when we got swept by the Red Sox, does not stand out. You couldn't tell me one detail about that game.
We lost.
Yeah. See, you don't remember details on that game. You can't tell me details of the Philly series.
I don't remember details about the last year's game, to tell you the truth, except the pitcher hit a, you know, RBI on us.
Well, I remember dozens of details from that game, and I'm scarred, and I probably won't forget them. I couldn't tell you anything about the Philly series that we lost back in 09.
Oh, I can.
What?
Tula Whiskey.
Specifically.
Tula Whiskey.
Yeah. When I ask you if you remember details, the important thing is to actually remember details.
I do. The details is Tula Whiskey, game on the line, in the last out of a game when we had somebody on base, struck out. And said after the game, you know, I'd love to have that same opportunity again, you know, during this series. And the next night he had the exact same scenario and he swung out real weak-like. I can't say what I want to say, but real weak-like in the same situation. So there, that's what I remember about that series.
Okay.
1 hour, 20-minute drive, Milwaukee to Chicago.
1 hour and 20-minute drive right now?
Dude, you said it was 5 hours.
I know. Maybe that's what different. I'm just.
Or are you driving? You going around a lake or something?
Yeah, it is around a lake, but maybe I took the long way around the lake. See, look at it. says one hour and 29 minutes right now.
Dude, seriously, are you blind right now?
They had different points. So I think I looked at the different points as that's an hour 29. That's an hour 55.
Let's go to Brandon. Brandon, you're on the fan. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
So, quick question about the Rockies. With how you saw how they played in September, and we had a lot of different heroes outside of Nolan Arenado there, and how they're playing right now, going back to the beginning of the season where Nolan said he was tired of losing. He wants to play for a winner.
I think he's here now.
With where they are now, do you think that the Rockies managed to sign him to a deal?
No doubt.
That we had other key players who were heroes in September other than him. Does he do a deal with the Rockies and DJ LeMahieu?
DJ is probably gone, unfortunately, especially because they've got a player in Brendan Rodgers who is a first-round draft pick that they've got targeted to play second base. And I don't want DJ to be gone. I'm not looking forward to it. But you had to make some sort of decisions. And when you decide to give some money to Charlie, you more or less were signing away DJ LeMahieu, only because DJ is going to get some offers that the Rockies probably can't match. That's a bummer. Not a lot you can do about it. What was your other question about what?
Is it almost a lock that they're going to sign Nolan?
No, that's definitely not a lock.
I think it is now because you have to look at what just happened here, D-Mac.
Nolan will go to the highest bidder. Nolan's not from the state of Colorado, even though he loves it here. He's from California. So if he gets an offer from the Angels or the Giants or the Yankees or something, you know, there's a good chance that Nolan might go. However, that being said, obviously, players want opportunities to win, and it certainly works in the Rockies' favor. But I never expect a professional athlete, Alfred, to give any team ever for any reason a hometown discount.
Never should they either. Never should the player give a
Chris
team.
Chris Harris did it, and Derek Wolfe did it.
Didn't make sense to me.
I bet they both regret it.
Yeah, because as soon as Derek Wolfe did it, you saw Malik Jackson go and sign this monster deal that made everybody go, wow. With guarantees money that I think were the same amount of the entire contract of Derek Wolfe's contract deal. And then on top of that, Chris Harris Jr., you know, when he did his deal, we were like, why did he do that? Well, you know, the man's got a young family, he had financial security there. But when you saw the numbers for the cornerbacks when they hit the open market, man, my goodness, you know, we're talking about $13, $14 million guaranteed.
I did have
Chris
to.
Chris Dale was right around $7.5, $8 million. The Broncos felt so badly about it. They put incentives in his contract, I think, this year for like $4 million.
I did on the air have to defend my position, though, that every now and then, not all the time, but every now and then, you get a player who is so special that you don't trade him, even though you know you're going to lose him. You ride it all the way to the end because he's just that special. Now, this does not happen very often.
You don't get compensation from Major League Baseball like you do the NFL.
It doesn't happen very often, and I wouldn't say it with most players, but Nolan, to me, is one of those players. LeBron James is one of those players. Every now and then, you ride a guy to the absolute end, and you hope for the best, even if you think you're going to lose him. Carmelo Anthony was not one of those guys. They needed to deal him because they were going to get nothing for him. He was just going to walk away. So they did the right thing. It hurt. It sucked. Like, you know, we were robbed or we, you know, whatever was said about the deal. But Nolan's special. I hope Nolan signs back. But he's probably just going to go to whoever's going to pay him the most money at the end of the day. And yeah, I don't know, can you really blame him? Let's go out to Ron. Ron, you're on the fan. What's up, Ron?
Well, I just have one comment, and I don't know if anybody else has noticed this or not. Some friends and I were watching the game Sunday, the Bronco game. And if you look closely and you rewatch it more than once, Demaryius Thomas slows down after he makes his stop-and-go move. He doesn't keep going full speed. If he stays at full speed, it hits him in the hands. That ball was thrown to a spot. Demaryius Thomas slowed down.
So, yeah. Yep.
Go watch it again.
Well, we've talked about it. And that's why I said that on the left sideline, the stop and go route that happened on the left sideline where Case Keenum threw the ball towards the left sideline. I think it may have been like on the 14 or 15 yard line, somewhere in there. And we ended up getting 3 points out of that. But here's what I'll say. For this to be the fourth game of the regular, the fourth game of the regular season, that didn't make sense to me at all. Like, I don't know what the confusion was with Demaryius Thomas and Case Keenum on that play in particular. And I will also say that on those plays that are outside, that are past 10, 15 yards, that and they're vertical passes, that should always be Courtland Sutton.
Here is Case Keenum today talking about not throwing a TD pass in three straight games. Think about the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and then I want you to think of something else. How many of those great quarterbacks have gone three straight games without throwing a touchdown pass? Keep that in mind, because that's the case with Case right now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care how we get in the end zone. Obviously, I like throwing touchdowns. I like when those guys are running them in, too. We got two great backs. They're doing a great job. But we got a bunch of targets. I mean, I think receivers, tight end, they want to get in the end zone, too. So whatever it takes, I know that the whole team is that way. And whatever it takes to score more points than the other team, whether it's run or pass. But, we'd love to get more passes going.
Yeah, hopefully he's...
Wow, he just kind of said that.
I don't want that.
Matter of fact, we have two great backs.
Oh, no.
I mean, you didn't even hear that.
I heard it. Here's about his missed throw to DT.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great play call by Bill. Trying to take a shot at the end zone and, played two high safeties. And, I threw it where I wanted to, just a little high. I mean, it's just a little bit off. And that's, it's the game. It's a game of inches. And, would I have liked to have that one back? Heck yeah. But I know we're going to make a lot more of those than we don't. So I gave him my best shot. And, I can't lose any more sleep over it. We got a lot more games to play. We got a tough test this week. So, I've squashed it. I've learned from it. I've moved on. I think we're going to make a lot more of those plays than we don't.
It's got to be tough answering questions like that. I wouldn't want to answer questions like that. What are you going to do? I guess you just cliched up. It is talking to these guys at these press conferences sometimes is a waste of time.
See, after all these years, I just figured out what happened during Super Bowl, or was it 48, on the first snap of the game.
Oh, really?
Just found out. I mean, I just found out what happened on the first snap of the game after all of these years.
I can't wait to hear it.
I didn't say I was going to tell you, but I know now.
Wait a second. You're doing a radio show. You set up a great tease, and then you say you're just not going to explain it.
Right. It was...
we're not just sitting at your house.
I'm just saying, but I could tell you, but...
Why don't you tell all of us?
Well, I don't know if that... Okay, I'll tell you. No, I can't.
Then why'd you bring it up?
Because I know now. It took me 5 years. What has it been, 5 years since that happened? To find out what happened. Nobody wants to tell the truth. Nobody wants to tell the truth, and now I know what the truth is.
Why wouldn't you tell us?
Because I don't want to.
Why?
I don't know if my source wants me to tell you.
Then why'd you bring it up?
I just told you. I just found out 5 years ago. I mean, it took me 5 years to find out.
Because why would you set this whole thing up and not?
I didn't set up nothing. I say sometimes it just takes a long time. I just found out what happened on the first snap of the Super Bowl when we snapped the ball.
And you don't want to share it with the class?
For safety. No, I don't want to tell you. Orlando was on that team. Why don't you let Orlando tell you?
Why don't I let you tell me? Because you brought it up.
I don't want to tell you. It's Orlando's story. If he wants to tell you, he'll tell you.
So Orlando's your source?
Yeah, he's my source. He was on the team. He knows what happens. He's in the business. He can tell you what happens.
Should we get Orlando on the phone?
Yeah, if you want to, that'd be great. Let's get him on the phone.
Ryan, get Orlando on the phone, please.
Let's see if he wants to tell you what happened. I'm not telling. I mean, it was a conversation that we had. But he works now in TV and radio.
I know the real story about who shot Kennedy. I'm just not going to tell you.
I didn't ask. I don't want to know. I'm not that interested, D-Mac.
I just found out about it.
I'm really not that interested.
I know who
did they do it, though? Why did they do it? Since you know who did it, why did they do it?
A Kennedy?
Yeah.
It was the mob. It's connected to the Bay of Pigs. A believe Hyman Roth had something to do with it. He was upset about Mo Green.
Oh, my goodness.
Michael knew Fredo had turned rotten on him.
A lot of good information out there. But, you know, players are going to lie to you. Players are going to lie to you. You think Case Keenum wants to stand there and say, well, the throw was where it's supposed to be. You know, DT didn't get there.
Did you call Orlando, Big Sexy?
No, I didn't.
Well, maybe we'll get him on the other side. Why don't we just get him on the other side? If we get him on the other side.
You guys want to go ahead and forward me that phone number? Because I don't have it.
Oh, you don't have O's number?
Oh.
I don't either. By the way, I don't have it either. I'm just not going to give it.
Why don't we call Raj and maybe Raj?
Well, Raj can give you the number. I mean, I'm not giving you the. If you don't have the man's number, I'm not giving you his number.
I don't know if I've got Orlando's number.
That's not how I work. Game recognized game.
What else do you want to tease and don't want to tell everybody?
Oh, no. It's just. I was just trying to make the point that players won't tell you what actually happened in the game till many moons from now. And on that play, something felt wrong. It felt like something was off. I don't know if it was DT. I know it wasn't.
Don't forget, anytime you say for the record or on the record, they'll just clam up and not say a word.
Right.
Yeah, it's almost like a waste of time. But you keep going to these dumb press conferences because every now and then they melt down and say something really stupid and it's fun to talk about. Every now and then. Okay, when we come back, I think you guys will enjoy this. What's it like? I was on a, you think so, Big Sexy? We're confident about this?
Yeah, it's funny.
I was on a radio station in Milwaukee. I like Milwaukee. I like the Brewers. I've never been to Milwaukee, but it looks nice. But I'm on a radio. I cannot stand Cubs fans. That's why last night was so incredibly satisfying. Because not only are the fans arrogant, look at the Cubs players themselves. And so I was on a radio station. You know what? You're going to like it. I promise you. You're going to have a laugh, and we're going to rip on Cubs fans. Stay tuned for it next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage, special circumstance lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
You're listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
All right, so the way this works is when you're in the wonderful, wacky world of radio, oftentimes you're asked to be a guest on other stations. Al, I mean, you probably can't count how many times you've done spots on other radio stations, right?
Not countless. Not many baseball.
But in general, you've done just endless amounts. You probably have turned down more than you've even done. And by the way, it happens to every single host at The Fan. Every single one of us is asked to, you know, be a guest on some sort of show. And most of the time you oblige because it's just kind of the code of radio because someday maybe you'll want to have one of those people on your show. It's just the way it goes. So I was asked to be a guest on a show in Chicago.
You mean in Milwaukee?
No, well, I'll start with the one in Chicago. Okay. That was yesterday. And I'm on with these two dudes, and they're the home of the Cubs, and they're broadcasting from some building somewhere near the stadium. And I come on to have a little bit of fun, and I'm just like, hey, Cubs, and I don't like Cubs fans and all that. And they were like, oh, well, we wanted to talk about baseball and not all this, you know, hokey radio stuff. And I'm like, okay, well, whatever. And then we just start talking about baseball. And at the end of the interview, they go, well, what do you think about the Cubs fans now? Like, they went back to it. I'm like, all right, well, let's have it. Because I think it's a lot more interesting and fun as a guest on the show to have a conversation like that. And then they thought, oh, what a jerk I was. And why did I think Cubs fans were so arrogant and blah, 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 blah. They kind of ripped me. Which was fine. You know, I'm on their station.
Doing their show. They have the last word.
I'm stirring the pot. They can say whatever they want about me. I thought it was a fun spot.
And they'll ask you to come back on next year.
Well, if they want good radio, they will. But if they get all butthurt about it and they get all personally offended, I guess they won't. I don't really care. I don't get paid for this, nor do I have any ambitions. I mean, zero of ever working in Chicago. I have no ambitions other than keeping this job, period. I get asked to be on in Milwaukee. Now, I like the Brewers. The Brewers and the Rockies, Al, have a lot in common. They both went 9-1 down the stretch. They both had a chance to play for their division title. The Brewers won it by beating the Cubs. Rockies didn't, but the Rockies got to beat the Cubs the next day. Both Milwaukee and Colorado get passed over by the national media because of our physical location. Chicago is looked at as a much bigger, more important place. And nobody even knows the Mountain Time Zone exists. And everybody thinks that our offensive numbers are inflated because of Coors Field and the altitude. They don't take the Rockies seriously. That's why nobody from the Rockies will ever win MVP or Cy Young.
The Cy Young should have been in consideration, but that's another conversation.
So I feel like us in Milwaukee actually have a lot in common. And we had some great games during the regular season. The Rockies went 2-5 against the Brewers, but they were kind of like walk-offs, dramatic games. It wasn't like it was blowouts left and right. It was a good 7-game home and away series against the Brewers. This should be a really, really exciting series against two pretty evenly matched teams in two pretty similar media markets with two really good fan bases, too. The thing that we have in common is we hate the Cubs because the Cubs are freaking annoying and so are their fans, as they proved last night, bat flipping a walk. I find out on the radio show that I'm on in Milwaukee. The lead host of the show, now it's a 3-person show, but you'll hear soon, this dude thinks it's his show. He's a Cubs fan, Al. I don't know.
A lot of people are. I mean, we got WGN in
I got
Denver
it,
for
dude.
A lot of years before the Rockies got, before 25 years ago.
Imagine,
WGN was streamed here while I was in college.
Al, I don't know what I would do if you were a Cubs fan. And we had to talk about baseball on a regular basis. I would have a hard time, like a hardcore Cubs fan.
You mean when you became a Rockies fan? It would be equivalent to people talking about the Yankees when you went Boston?
It'd be worse. Oh, yeah. Yes, exactly. You're in Boston and the host of the radio show you listen to is a Yankees fan. I mean, he might think it's cute, but it's annoying as hell. Anyway, I found out this guy's a Cubs fan. So here's how it went earlier today. Now listen to his partners in the background. Go ahead, Big Sexy.
Swendy's Big Show. I'm Rami. There's Sparky and the Packer Hall of Famer, Leroy Butler. And joining us right now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline from the Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, 104.3 The Fan in Denver, is D-Mac, Darren McKee. Always a pleasure, sir. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing awesome. I'm so glad that we're Eskimo brothers together and defeating the most arrogant fan base in the world. The Chicago Cubs.
You're talking to a member of that fan base, D-Mac. You're welcome.
Well, you're arrogant. You live in Milwaukee. Become a Brewers fan. I mean, we're so sick of people like you. It's ridiculous. And you think you're entitled. Think everybody's actually rooting or pulling for you. It's just the opposite.
Oh, no, D-Mac. We know you're all rooting against us. That's what lets us know that we're doing something right. But let's get to the Brewers and Rockies.
You don't know that, though.
D-Mac, do you want to talk Brewers and Rockies, or do you want to debate how sucky Cubs fans are?
I want to talk to somebody else on the show that likes the Brewers.
All right.
Somebody that lives in Milwaukee and roots for the Cubs.
I got you. This dude's close to getting hung up on.
I got you.
This dude's real close to getting hung up on.
Let me talk to him. Go ahead. Hang out with me. That's what a Cubs fan would do.
D-Mac, I was told that you had limited time this afternoon, man, so we want to thank you, and we appreciate it. And maybe we'll talk again. Maybe we'll catch up later in the series.
He's on fire.
I like D-Mac. D-Mac, you should come work here in Milwaukee. You should come work at the Fan in Milwaukee.
Yeah, you should come here and pretend to be a Brewers fan, D-Mac.
Listen, the Brewers went 9-1 just like the Rockies did. The Brewers humiliated the Cubs just like the Rockies did. The Brewers have a great fan base and a great team, and people don't respect them because they look down on the cities just like they do with the Rockies. I love the Brewers. I hate the Cubs and arrogant fans like you. Brewers fans are terrific, and I'm looking forward to a series where Pitchin sends Zatella. He's good. You're going to see Marquez on short rest, and then you're going to see Kyle Freeland. But you guys are really, really good, and I'm sure Eric Thames isn't on steroids. That's obvious. But anyway, it's going to be a great matchup, and I'm so happy I got to tell a Cubs fan in Milwaukee, you live in Wisconsin, you moron.
Thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
So, you read this one earlier.
I'm not reading anything from that idiot. No, we're going to go to a break.
No. Read the tweet.
He'll kiss my ass. He'll never be on this show again.
So good.
It was really good.
Let me burst D-Max.
That is absolute pure gold content for our station. That's a promo. I'll cut the donut for really you. I'll put it up on Fan On Demand. You can hear that as much as you want. That was outstanding.
You can make it your ringtone. Hey, what did the tweet say to you about this D-Mac dude before he came on? Somebody that moved out to Denver.
I'm literally not giving this dude any more time or attention.
So
we're
going
to go to a break.
Hold
and the Wendy's Big
Don't
Show will be right back.
Hurt.
Way to blow him up, homeboy. Way to blow him up. See, they don't ask me on many of the shows after I go on
either.
That
guy was really insulted.
Because I guess I'm the same way about the Broncos.
You don't hate. Well, what fan base do you hate?
Well, it doesn't matter.
Cubs,
I mean,
Cubs know, fan base.
You know, just any phone call that talks about the Baltimore Ravens, the Washington Redskins. I just tell them how, you know, they don't know what a championship looks like because they haven't had one.
I don't know if there's a fan base
they don't
in
know,
football.
They don't know how to do it right because they don't know what a championship
looks
like.
Well, that's good stuff. I don't know if there's a fan base in football that's as arrogant as the Cubs, though.
They have won championship in the last, 112 years?
Right.
Come on, man.
They think they're so cute with everything.
No, but
hey,
once again.
Hey, here's this Class C celebrity singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Isn't this awesome?
It's like saying, it's like talking to somebody from Detroit about Ford cars. Hey, when you invent the assembly line and you run out more Fords, you know that, hey, you have a sense of pride about Fords. Hey, people from Chicago, okay, were lucky enough to be in the cable game.
Alfred, they didn't invent baseball.
No, I'm just saying, but they were in the cable game, D-Mac, so, which means that they were seen in more Midwestern cities than any other team
Big
out
deal.
There.
So what? You live in Milwaukee, root for the Brewers.
If you talk to people my age or older, they'll tell you they grew up watching Cubs games here in Denver.
I've heard that annoying excuse 10 million times. Big deal. Every team in the past 20 years has been available via cable.
Can I tell you something? I don't think I could ever root for the Houston Texans. I don't think I could ever root for the Houston Texans.
Because the Oilers moved away?
Because I grew up an Oilers fan.
Sure, makes
sense. So whatever happens with the Texans is whatever. I mean, I don't even know what that is.
They're not your team.
They're not my team.
Yeah, okay.
And neither is the Tennessee Titans. Certainly I'm not rooting for a team in Tennessee.
I just loved how that dude's partners were so willing to throw him under the bus.
I'm glad you gave him the business.
I'm glad I did too. Take that for data. When we come back, Orlando Franklin.
Whoa.
He's going to tell us.
Whoa. Did you tell him what we're going to ask him?
Yeah, Big Sexy?
So what I said when I asked him, say, hey, Orlando, it's Big Sexy. Alan D-Mac, we're wondering if you were able to come on and talk about what happened on the first snap of Super Bowl 48. He said, yeah, that's cool.
That's next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Alan D-Mac.
Story behind the first snap of the Super Bowl in Super Bowl 48.
But I'm not privy to say what it is because it's not my story to tell.
But you did reveal your source on it was Orlando.
I said
Franklin.
Orlando knows what it is, so why don't you just call him?
Well, hi Orlando.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, man? I can't believe this dude, man. This dude just digs, man.
I don't dig that hard. I said, who's your source? And you said Orlando. It wasn't really. It wasn't Watergate. So, are you comfortable telling the story on the air about the first snap?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
So what happened was we were practicing for the Seahawks, and we thought that we were going to travel better than their fans would travel. Mm. So the whole week we were there, and we were just working off our normal cadence as if we were going to play in a home game. And I remember asking Adam Gase, Goose, I like to call him. I mean, that's the offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
I remember asking him, hey, are we not going to work on silent at all this week? Because as a tackle, it's very important to get that rhythm down and and understand the head bob and just get into the feel of it, work on it throughout practice. So during the game, you feel comfortable doing it. And he was like, nah, don't worry about it. We're going to be fine. It's going to be like a home game. We're going to travel better than the Seahawks will travel. And we get to the game, and that first play of the game, we get in the huddle, and it is loud.
Yeah, oh, yeah. We were there.
In the end zone, right.
Like, we were there, yeah.
You're there. You're listening in, and you're like, Peyton, what? And then we replaying the play, and then we break the huddle, and we get up to the line of scrimmage. And immediately I'm looking back at Peyton because I'm like, it's got to be going to silent, right? I can't hear what's going on. Mm. And you can see the offensive line. It's like the right side of the offensive line is looking at the center and looking back at Peyton. And then the left side of the offensive line is doing the exact same thing, looking at the center and looking back at Peyton to see if he's going to switch. But Manny Ramirez has the ball, and he's looking at the defense and making the calls because in his mind, it was in Manny's mind, we were going to go on Caden. So he's waiting for Caden, and he can't hear him. And Luis Vasquez looks back, and Luis sees like Peyton start to – he sees Peyton start to walk up to the line of scrimmage, but he thinks that Peyton just was lifting up his leg for which signals that we're now in silent cadence to snap the ball. Mm. So Luis sees Peyton pick up his first leg, and he just turns around and taps Manny Ramirez. Manny head bobs and snaps the ball where Peyton was actually lifting up his leg to start walking to the line of scrimmage. And that's where that fumble comes in. It's just we were all off, not on the same page at the same time.
That's a crushing story. Here.
And you know what? You know what? We've been speculating like for years that it was on Manny, and we saw Manny on the sideline. And I'm telling you, man, you know Manny's a pretty fiery guy. Anyway, you play with him, you know this. But I have never seen him on the sideline more upset after that first snap of that Super Bowl 48.
Oh, he was crushed. He was absolutely crushed. I remember going to him and saying, hey, you got to let it go. You got to let it go.
2-0. Big deal.
You could see it in the face. And, I mean, that center, whoever's at that center position, is your second quarterback on offense. And you need him to have everything together, and you need his head in the game because you got to be able to have that short-term memory because the other four on that offensive line, we rely heavily on that center.
Wow.
It was just a shame to hear. And we've heard stories like that too, Orlando, about
it was so loud.
The preparation just wasn't what it should have been that week. And on a lot of different levels.
There was a lot of things that I feel like could have changed. I remember we were talking to Coach Fox and asking him, a lot of guys were saying, hey, could we go just helmets today instead of full pads the Wednesday? And Coach Fox was always like, hey, we're going to do what we have always done. So we're winning football games by going full pads on Wednesday. So we're going to do that. And I mean, the Seattle Seahawks that whole week, they walked through.
Oh yeah.
And y'all hearing these stories, right? Yeah. I mean, you guys were hearing these stories about them walking through and you're like, well, why are we banging each other? They're walking through.
Man, not only were we in full pads on Wednesday, we were doing one-on-ones against the D-line on Wednesday, full speed one-on-ones. And it showed come Sunday.
You were worn out?
Looked a lot more fresh than we did.
You were at the Jets facility practicing with the doors open to simulate the cold.
And you had the press conference on a boat that was rocking. If anybody got seasick, I understand.
And you switched hotels. You switched hotels for some unknown reason.
The night before, we went to a different hotel.
Why?
We did that one night in Miami. In Miami, we did that too.
Yeah, but
it was to simulate that game, that routine.
During the week,
you go home, you stay at home at your house during the week.
Yeah.
The night before, you go to a hotel.
Right.
So it was to simulate your routine, to get in the same exact routine.
Overthinking it.
We did the same thing, D-Max.
You can tell
it's not overthinking it. In San Diego, we didn't change for Super Bowl 32. We did not change hotel rooms, but in Miami, we certainly changed hotel room because Coach Shanahan didn't like the access from the public to the team, and he wanted a tighter environment.
Dude, there was no access from the public to the. They were on a river. Like, they had military boats.
Yeah, but if they have other people in the hotel, they can't control the entire hotel.
But not only that, you got your friends,
right?
You got your family. You got your wife, your kids. They all had access to that hotel. They could get in at any time. So I understand why they switched it the night before, just to get away from that, because that's what you're typically used to.
Well, they didn't do it to Orlando. They didn't do it 2 years later in Santa Clara. They stayed in the same place.
Because the access was different.
Dude, they were in Jersey City. There wasn't easy access into that building where they were for 48. That was a tough place to get to.
Orlando, did you have people that were able to come up to the hotel, and did you have family members staying at the hotel?
Oh, yeah. There was a ton of fans there, too. I mean, you're talking about when we're pulling in after practice, the police got to get out of their car and get these fans out of there because there wasn't no real barricades or anything like that. It was crazy. I mean, there was a ton of people there.
All right, Orlando. Appreciate
you, bro.
You know, in the end, though, it is a bummer that the coaches weren't aware. It is funny, Orlando, because we were doing our show there for a week. We easily could have told you guys how many Seahawks fans were there if you guys didn't know. I mean, we could tell early on. Also, it's one of those moments where I would guess Peyton Manning would say, you know, I just should have called the timeout. I just should have called the timeout. And we should have huddled up and, you know, switched it that. It would have been embarrassing, but it would have been a better start. All right, hey, Orlando, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Hey, thanks.
By the way, I love you and John on the in-game broadcast, man. It is so special to hear. I can hear everything that you say and visualize it perfectly, man. Great job.
Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
All right, Orlando Franklin. Tonight at 7 from Famous Dave's Barbecue is Cecil Lammy. The Cecil special is $10.43. Hang out with Cecil. Get your fantasy questions answered. That's tonight at 7. At Famous Dave's.
For my partner, D-Mac. For Big Sexy, the man behind the glass that pulls it together. And Kyle Berry. Appreciate you guys back there every single day. I'm Big Al. We'll see you back here tomorrow at 3 on the drive. Good night, everybody. Oh, big time baseball tomorrow is going to be here tomorrow at 3.